Well, I'm not too sure how much we have to expound on that scripture. It's pretty plain, pretty simple. So I want to start out by asking a question. Are you a weed? Seems like a strange question, doesn't it? But that is just the question our gospel lesson is asking each of us this morning. Are we weeds? Our gospel text connects the difference between weeds and the wheat in the field. Jesus tells us a parable about a farmer who sowed some seeds into his field. Everything was going great. It was fertile land. Until one day, his servants were out there working, and they noticed that there was something else growing in this field. They noticed that there were weeds. They ran to their owner and they asked him about the kind of seeds that he used. Like, what did you do here? How come you planted these weeds in there? He said that an enemy had thrown the bad seed in his field and that he had used good seed. He reassured his servants that what I did was right. But somebody is toying with us. Somebody threw some bad seed, some weed seed, in my field while I wasn't looking. Then the servants, being eager to make the field look good again, asked if they should go and pull out the weeds. You see, here's the thing is the servants were concerned because people that were seeing this field knew whatever took place was the servants' responsibility or perhaps their fault. And they didn't want that. They knew that they did good work. And they didn't want somebody to think otherwise. So they were so eager to go out there and separate these weeds from the wheat and pull them out. But the master said, no. No. Because if you do, you're going to destroy the good seed, the wheat, because they look so much alike. So just leave them go. And when the wheat ripens, no one could really tell them apart, and they might disturb the wheat along trying to pull up the weeds. He tells them that they should leave the field alone. And then when the wheat is ready for harvest, the weeds will have bloomed also, and one could then tell the difference. Then the harvesters could come and pull out the weeds and burn them and gather the harvest of wheat and bring it into the barn and store it. Jesus then explains the parable by saying that the sower, or the master, is the Son of God. The field is the world. And the good seeds are the sons of people of the kingdom of God, and the bad seeds, or the weeds, are the sons of the evil one. The evil one in this case is the devil. Satan had been out there playing around in the master's field, trying to destroy it and take the credit away from the master and their servants. He was up to his usual no good. Jesus then says that you cannot tell the difference between these two groups of people. Just like the weeds in the wheat, they look just alike. Well, the people that Satan sent to plant the weed seed looks just like the servants that planted the wheat seed. That is just exactly how it is today. We go out in the world, and as you pass people by in a sidewalk, you don't know if they're good people or bad people, because we all look the same. The only thing that distinguishes us is our works and our words, and our actions. Just like it is in the field, the only thing that distinguishes the weeds from the wheat is when they mature, and then you can see the difference. Then as you're walking by the field, you can see the bad ones from the good ones. Jesus then says that you cannot tell the difference between these two groups of people, but when the close of the age, this is the end of the world, comes and the harvest of the world is ready, then the angels will separate the evil ones from the righteous ones. The evil ones will be burned, and the righteous people will live with him for eternity. Obviously, they're talking about the evil ones will go to hell. The righteous ones will go to heaven. Just exactly like the weeds and the wheat. Once they can tell the difference, at the end of the planting cycle, the people will come to the field and they will harvest. They will be able to distinguish the good from the bad. And the bad will be bundled together or gathered at the final judgment. And Jesus will look at these bad seeds, these bad people, saying, I do not know you. You are not in my book. And these people will be grouped and sent to hell and burned. And we know the rest of that story. And when these people, these bad people, are out of the way, Jesus Christ will then open the gates of heaven. And the good people, the wheat, will enter in. Because there's room. There's a mansion. Now the question can be asked, which are you? Are you the weeds or the wheat? Somebody saw the title this morning, come into church and says, I just want you to know that I'm the flower. And I said, oh, well, somebody told me you were the blooming idiot. I won't tell you who that was, Betty. Dion. The parable was not told so that we might go around and judge others and decide who is a weed and who is the wheat. Jesus said loud and clear that is his responsibility. I, your Savior, Son of God, Jesus Christ, will determine who is the wheat and who is the weed. It is not for us to look around or to pass judgment on other people that we see and come in contact with and decide if they are a weed or a weed, if they are good people or bad people. Jesus Christ will do that. But he won't do it until the time is right. Until he comes again and the end of the age is closed, only then will he decide who is good and who is bad. But the parable is for one who takes a close look at his or her own self. Let me say that again. Jesus is saying, Jesus is using this parable for us to look at ourselves and decide if we are wheat or we are a weed. And it comes with the understanding that one can judge one's own heart and then repent and bear good fruit. We know what we are. We know if we're a wheat or a weed. We know if we are saved. We know when we do something that is not pleasing to Christ. We also know when we do something that is. We also know how it is when we live the life that Jesus Christ expects us to live. We don't need somebody else to tell us. You see, what is in our hearts and what is in our minds and what is in our souls, we know better than anybody other than Jesus Christ what our thoughts and deeds are, or lack of, or omission of. So today, we don't want to look at our neighbors and say, well, the pastor is really talking about you. I'm not. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about all of us. Today's sermon is addressed to each of us individually. It is a time to look at one's own sin and at the way one conducts one's own life, then make a decision about repentance for your own life and turning around and bearing fruit for Jesus Christ. That's what this parable is all about. Jesus is saying, look at your words. Look at your actions. Look at your lifestyle. Then decide if you are a wheat or a weed. As we look at ourselves this morning, as we compare ourselves to the example of weeds and wheat, we can ask this question of ourselves. Do we want to look like the wheat when it is convenient for us? And then be like a weed the rest of the time? Are we Sunday morning Christians? Or putting it in another way, does our faith in Jesus and the responsibility for living a committed kind of life get turned on when it's easy for us? Many people label Christians as hypocrites. I would venture to say that most people that claim to be a born-again Christian are hypocrites. Let me change that. Some. I won't use the word most. Let me give you an example. Our prayer request this morning. We lifted up Warren and Lee and Mark and Pete. And we prayed for them here this morning as a whole, as a body of Jesus Christ. Is that it? I send an email out for a prayer request. Do you read the email then go on about your business? Or do we actually pray? Or do we only pray for these requests and concerns when we're called on to do so? Will any of us go home today and throughout our coming week take a moment in our own personal devotions or just running down, driving down the road and shoot up a prayer for Warren and Lee and Mark and Pete? Or do we do it here, one is done? Or do we continue? What you decide to do, would that make you a wheat or a weed? Would that make you a hypocrite? Melissa called me this morning, blah, 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 blah. I says, Melissa, we will pray for you. I will pray for you. I will. I did. But if I just said, Melissa, I'll pray for you, and then don't do it, that's about as big a hypocrite as you can be. Would we ever say something to somebody that says, I will pray one time for you? How do you think that would be received? But it's not necessary. We don't need to tell people, I will continually pray for you. Because as Christians that we say we are, the person assumes that that's exactly what you're going to do. Jesus Christ demands that we do. That is being a wheat and not a weed. Now I lost my place. Do we have one standard for ourselves and another standard for others? Or are we consistent? Do we live like Jesus has demonstrated in his life as a way of living each day we face on this earth? So I ask yourself, So I ask you to ask yourself if being a follower of Jesus stops when you leave the church and starts again when you come back next Sunday. All of this time in between, are you a weed or are you a wheat? Through our words and our actions and our works, do we live our life as Jesus has demonstrated for us? Or do we just go on about our own business? Or does being a Christian do something to your entire life? I will tell you this. My life was totally different. My life was so selfish. When I was telling everybody I was a Christian, but I had not accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Oh, I was raised in the church. I went twice a Sunday and on catechism. I mean, all of the things that professors and preachers tell us we need to do. But when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, my life turned completely different. I am so much a different person today than I was before. I can't even tell you how different it is. Or does being a Christian do something to your entire life? 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So I asked you this morning, judge yourself. You know. You know better than anybody. Because you are the only one who can answer those questions. So another question in this parable poses for us is this. Are we being productive with our lives? Are we bearing fruit for the sake of the gospel? Or are we being productive for ourselves? Are we bearing fruit for ourselves? This is what a weed does. A weed lives next to the wheat, and that weed is stealing the fertility from the soil and robbing it from the wheat so the weed can do itself what it wants to do. I remember years ago, I was going to be really, really good, Farmer Gary. And I asked Rainey's folks if I could have a little piece of land in their orchard and plant sweet corn. Sure. So I went to all the work and I did, prepared the soil and I planted the seed and fertilized it. And I was going to make big bucks so I could get me a new boat or whatever it was at the time. So the corn came up and it started growing. And then the weeds came up. And these were back in the days when you didn't have Roundup. You had to cultivate that corn. And I decided I'm not going to cultivate it. That corn's taller than the weeds are. It'll survive. I'll still be able to harvest the corn. I'll still be able to get whatever it was I had my sights on. But lo and behold, the weed started taking the fertilizer that I had put in that soil and robbed it from the corn. And it wasn't too long. The corn was like this and the weeds were like this. And come harvest time, there wasn't any ears because the weeds had taken control. That is exactly how it is with our lives. The bad people will take the good from the good people and use it for their own selfish being. It will rob the fertilizer of our lives and prevent us from bearing fruit for Jesus Christ. Jesus says that when the wheat bears good fruit, but the weeds bear no fruit. Are you willing to bear fruit? Are you willing to get involved for the sake of the gospel message? This isn't just about being a good guy. This isn't just about being the wheat. The wheat lives. The wheat matures. The wheat is harvested. And it does good for other people. It is the same for us. We live our life following Jesus Christ. And we are to work for His kingdom. We are to spread the gospel word. We are to do what it is that Jesus expects us to do. And the harvest, the fruit, will be we will all go to heaven at the close of the age. I got a story at the end of this message that explains or demonstrates all of this. Our church is always in need of people. We always have something going on here, some sort of a project that needs our help. We constantly need committee members. We are always asking for hymn sing leaders and scripture readers, for more members in the men's group, for more ladies in the helping hands. And there's a whole host of other responsibilities that await us who belong to the church. I wonder why it's so difficult for the nominating committee to find people to do the functions if we all want to bear fruit. Is it because too many of us are weeds and we bear no fruit? And they have a difficult time finding the wheat in the field? Jesus is asking you this morning to search your heart and soul to see if you will bear fruit for Him. Not for us. For Him. For Jesus Christ. That is exactly what He wants us to do. He's asking us if we, you and I, are willing to get involved for the sake of His gospel message. He is asking us if we can bear fruit for Him. Now, I just used our own situation here at Carlisle as an example. But it's not just Carlisle. As we go out into the world and live our life, there are endless places that we can bear fruit for Jesus Christ. Another question that faces us this morning is this. Do we choke out the good seed around us with our selfishness? A farmer wants only good wheat in his field because the weed will rob from the field and choke off the good seed so that they won't bear as much fruit, then the yield will be less. I just give you a true life example of that. So I ask you, are you the kind of person, the one who makes the yield less? Sometimes we are selfish with our own ideas, our own feelings about things. We choke out the ideas and the enthusiasm of others with our own agenda. As we look at ourselves this morning, we could conclude that all is lost for us. But we don't have to make that conclusion. But I think implied in this parable is a time for repentance. Jesus will come with the angels at the close of the age, but until that time, whatever it may be, we still have time to repent, to change our ways, to reach out to others who need our help. We still have time to be compassionate, to be loving, to be caring, concerned people that Jesus wants us to be. There is a time for repentance. There is a time for us to confront the evil in our lives and help, and with the help of God's Spirit, our lives can be changed. We can turn away from being weeds to bearing fruit. So I want to tell you this story about this little girl that helped a neighbor bully change his ways. The bully's name was Todd. His parents were divorced and he was left to fend for himself. He is rude, and for an 8-year-old, he can swear pretty good. When he comes over to Heidi's house, the quiet surroundings quickly turn to chaos and fighting and crying and disobeying the rules. But Heidi did not cut Todd off from her circle of friends. Heidi didn't say, "Todd, you're not welcome here anymore. Everything turns to chaos when you're here. And I don't like that, and I don't want that. So just go stay at home or go find other friends. I don't want you to be my friend." She did not do that. Instead, if Todd swore, she told him it was wrong. God doesn't like that. If he started to fight, she told him he'd have to go home. And on Sunday, she would collect a children's bulletin and take one to Todd. She'd even taken him to Bible school. You see, Heidi has weeded out the bully. And Todd now tries hard to be good. He's more joyous now. He's more alert. And he plays well. He has more fun playing than fighting. He and Heidi even talk about Jesus in all of the different Bible stories. Todd needed some help with his repentance. He needed someone who was willing to care for him, not in a judgmental way, but in a loving, caring way. You see, today, Todd is less of a weed among the children on his street than he used to be. And I say this, thanks be to God who continues to cultivate the harvest. So this morning, as you look at yourself, remember there's time for repentance. There's time to think. Remember that there are those around you with loving, non-judgmental hearts if you want help in your repentance. God has given the opportunity for all people to be saved. He has given us many opportunities to repent. He has given us endless opportunities to bear fruit. The sower has done all the sowing. He has planted the seeds. He will nourish the seeds. He will watch them. He will care for them with a loving hand. And all he asks us to do is to let him do it. He will nourish us. He will care for us. He loves us. We just need to allow him to do this by our words and our actions, and asking Jesus Christ to be our personal saviors. So this morning, will you let God work in your life? Will you let God work in your life so that you can bear fruit? And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning.